Welcome to the final episode of the year. It's been an interesting 2020 for many of you. Some of you may have financial struggles, emotional struggles. I feel like 2020 has been a fantastic year. Regular listeners know one of my favorite quotes is from Anthony DeMello, "Though everything is a mess, all is well." That's kind of the outlook that I generally try to have in life because it's important to live in the present moment and appreciate the things that you have in the present moment. In fact, if you're a member of the Patreon, you'll know that the big focus for the last 2 weeks in the Living Mindfulness course has been how to do gratitude meditation, the importance of that. And so for today's final episode of the year, we're going to talk about resolutions and the interesting things that kind of tie into that. We're going to talk about resolutions, how to actually get them done properly, and I'm going to talk about a listener comment that I've received on the Discord. Go to thechemicalmind.com and get the link to the Discord so you can join us and have a discussion there. Now, unlike most people doing these kind of things, how to get your resolutions done or accomplished or whatever, I'm not going to make you wait until the end for the secret to a successful resolution. I'm going to give it to you right now. Because those of you know that watch those things or listen to those podcasts know that you kind of get to the end and they tell you what the secret is, and the secret's not so secret. So why make you wait till the end? I'm going to give it to you right now. The secret to a successful resolution is to simply close your eyes and listen. Welcome to the Alchemical Mind. Do you get value out of listening to the show? If so, consider supporting us at patreon.com/thealchemicalmind, where you can join some amazing people who help make the show possible, including David, Dick, DJ, Isaac, James, Jason, Matthew, Michael, Mike and Maurice, and Sandy. If you sign up for the Patreon, you get early access to all the episodes, you get bonus content, you get access to the Living Mindfulness course, in which we learn how to be mindful, and tons more stuff. So check out the Patreon, support the show, you can get there for as little as $1 a month. Patreon.com/thealchemicalmind. I'm sure some of you already tuned out of this episode when you heard what the secret was. What do you mean, close your eyes and listen? That's not the secret to anything. See, this is why you get stuck in this rut that you get in, why you're constantly looking for answers. Because when someone gives you a simple explanation on how to accomplish your goals, you feel like, well, that's too simple. That can't be it. I dive into this a little bit deeper in terms of the current messianic cults that are arising through politics and ufology, etc. And that'll be out as the first episode of the year with a new friend of the show and host of the Hard to Believe podcast, John Brooks. Had a great time chatting with him. So we're going to talk a little bit about this because, you see, the main issue that people have is that they don't recognize the power that is inherent within them. They don't recognize that they're it. And even when you understand the symbology behind the term you are it, Tatvamasi, you don't quite want to believe it. You find rationalizations on why you can't be it, why you can't be a manifestation of the divine. And that's why you get stuck. That's why you get stuck doing the same thing over and over again. That's why you make resolutions and don't finish them, don't accomplish them. And of course, you're not alone. Only 7% of people that actually create New Year's resolutions accomplish all their resolutions throughout the year. The majority of people, of course, have kind of come to the realization that, you know, you make resolutions and they never come to fruition, so why bother? So almost 60% of people now don't even bother making New Year's resolutions. And that's kind of a better way to go about things, maybe not making the resolutions. But the point is, they maybe aren't doing it for the right reasons, if you will. And so really the main theme of this episode is a Taoist idea that I really love. And it's a simple word. And the word is Wu Wei. Now I'm going to dive into Wu Wei quite a bit deeper in February. I'm planning way ahead on these episodes. So for January, you're going to get the Zoroastrianism unit. We're going to talk about Kabbalah. When we get to February, we're going to dive very, very deep into Taoist ideology because I really love it. And then we're going to go from there. We're going to do some Tibetan shamanism and the influence on Buddhism, etc. And then for March, all you psychonauts are going to really love the episodes because for March, we're going to do an almost month-long discussion of psychedelic use in different traditions around the world. So that'll be very interesting, and that's going to tie into a podcast appearance that will be coming out in March. I'll be guesting on another show, and we're going to dive deep into that. So should be a lot of fun. But let's talk about this idea of Wu Wei, if you're not familiar with it. Wu Wei is oftentimes kind of translated as not doing, non-action. And of course, in a Western context, this doesn't really mean what it means in Chinese, right? The more appropriate translation of the term Wu Wei would be something more akin to action through non-action. And, you know, as a tradition that is heavily influenced by dualist ideas, and again, we're going to dive very deep into that in the Zoroastrianism unit, Western culture doesn't really quite understand how these two things can mesh with each other. So our cosmology is different. And this is why I really appreciate cosmologies from, say, the Hindu tradition, where they don't view us as having total direct interaction with the universe, but kind of see us as actors in a play. And I really love that, right? Because as actors in a play, you're just kind of following the script instead of creating the script as you go along. Ad-libbing, if you will, would be the terminology that's used in modern times. And there is a fundamental difference in the cosmology of a culture and how they actually interact with the world around them. And I'm going to get a little bit deeper when I get into this listener comment, because it really ties in very heavily with it. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with wanting to set goals for yourself. In many respects, it's important as part of ego development to set goals for yourself, to want to better yourself, to want to know more about yourself and the world around you and be successful in everything that you do, whether that be at work or maybe being a better parent or a better child or a better employee or employer or a better philosopher or more spiritual, or even just to be a better person. It's important to have these goals. And so even though I talk a lot about ego disillusion, the one thing that we often forget is kind of how we get to that place. How we get to the place of ego disillusion, because you have to have an ego in order to dissolve it, right? And it is kind of the natural course or of growing up to find an identity for yourself. And this is something that I realized years ago when I realized why it was that I began the spiritual journey for myself. Because as regular listeners know, I grew up in a household that was not very strict, but you know, my dad was a minister, a preacher, and you know, we went to church on Sundays twice, once in the morning, once in the evening. I went to church on Wednesday evenings. We did, you know, visitations at hospitals, to people's houses. Sometimes I even was asked to come up and preach myself, and I was very heavily involved in the choir. I was choir director for a little while, and as I began to carve my own path, as I kind of went through teenage years, adolescence, you naturally want to find who you are on your own, right? So when I often say that, you know, there's no mystery to these traditions, they're just mysterious when you don't recognize them, when you don't know how to close your eyes and listen. Because what they're telling us is simply how to be normal, functioning human beings. That's all it's about. Oftentimes, yes, it's worded in metaphor and beautiful imagery and through the use of entities and archetypes. All these things are important because we are creatures of habit. We're creatures of story. We love story. This is how we pass our knowledge on. And so everyone gets to a place in their life where they say, okay, for the previous, you know, whatever it is, 15, 16, 18, 20, 25 years of my life, my identity has been defined by my upbringing, by my parents want me to be, by the ideas that they live their own lives by. I want to find my own way to live. And sometimes this translates to people kind of joining subcultures, right? So I was a skater for a while, I was a punk for a while, I was into the rave scene, I was into all kinds of things. Experimenting with different things, trying to find my own identity. This is why kids rebel. It's not because they hate their parents, it's because they want to find their own identity. And see, spiritually, this translates as well, because having grown up in a Christian household, I wanted to see, is this all there is for me, or is there more? And so I experimented with Buddhism and Taoism and Gnosticism, Sufism, various traditions throughout, you know, the past 20 or so years of my life to see what it is that I believe in. So see, finding that identity, finding that ego is part of the whole process. Don't let anyone fool you otherwise. because this is how you can get embedded into cults. Somebody gives you an idea of what it is that you should be, how you can be this great enlightened being, how you can, you know, reach heaven or whatever. I'm not saying these things don't exist, but they exist wherever you are. The kingdom of God is within you, right? That's the central teaching of Jesus, and you know, nobody knows what it means because everyone thinks heaven's somewhere up in space. No, it's not there. And in the Gospel of Thomas, if you recall from that episode from a while back, he even says that there. Split a piece of wood and I am there. What does that mean? Regardless of what it is that you do, regardless of the tradition or anything, wherever you are, there it is. That's it. So you've got to be in the present. And see, this is the key to a successful resolution. There's a really interesting tradition in a lot of traditions that kind of have gurus, right? So you see this in Buddhism, you see this particularly in Hinduism, but in many other traditions, where you have the guru kind of sits down, sometimes under a tree or maybe like in a building or on the grass or whatever, and his students kind of make a circle around him and they listen to him preach. And you know, the guru is a human being. He might have habits. And, you know, a lot of these gurus smoke, right? And I use this because I myself am a smoker. And this will tie in directly into resolutions. They see the guru smoke and they say, you know, somebody comes in that wants to learn from this guru. And they say, well, if he's so enlightened, why, how can he be attached to smoking? And so the answer that is naturally given is, well, you know, you're being silly. Of course, he has to have some kind of habit, something to hold on to, because if he didn't have this earthly habit, then he would be a being of pure light or, you know, a Buddha of some sort. He would disappear, right? Because he'd have no material attachments. And so by having this habit, smoking is the one that I'm using in particular, by having this habit, the guru can be present, can be a material entity to give us this wealth of knowledge. And of course, that's kind of silly if you think about it, because we're all human beings. We all have failures. We all have things that we could be better at or maybe sometimes worse at. I often like to think about things like, you know, televangelists or, you know, fundamentalist preachers oftentimes get embroiled in some kind of nasty event that happens in their life, right? They preach against homosexuality, but they themselves are, you know, getting male prostitutes, or they have a drug habit and things like that. And this is what it is to be human. Why are people surprised that this happens? See, the problem is that the ego gets in the way. The ego gets in the way and you say, well, you don't have to do, you should not do these things. But then you go and do them yourself, right? Do as I say, not as I do. I'm sure many of you understand this very simple concept. Everyone has these faults, these failings, because we're human. And we need to recognize ourselves as such. Yes, of course, we are manifestations of the divine, but in a physical form, in a human form. Otherwise, we'd just be pure divine beings, beings of light, whatever people like to discuss on these things. And so you see, this is how this ties directly into creating resolutions. Now, of course, you could start simple. Make one resolution for the year. What is it that you want to accomplish for the year? You can make this, and you can set this goal and create some plan to do it, but statistically, chances are, you will probably fail. Is there something wrong with that? Of course not. But see, there is a better way. The way of Wu Wei. The way of non-action. Of action through non-action. And this gets translated kind of falsely in a sense through our Western culture that kind of expects you to wake up and work 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day. Maybe have two jobs. You have to provide for your family. You have to pay your mortgage. You have to pay your car. You have to pay your power bill, your light bill. You get food. This, that, and the other. And then, you know, you end up in this cycle where you're always doing the same thing, simply trying to get more money so you can have money to spend to make more money to spend more money, and you get nowhere. And you see, Wu Wei is not, it's not laziness. It doesn't mean you sit around and wait for things to happen to you. But the key, of course, is to not identify with that thing. And see, that is part of the secret to accomplishing and being successful with your New Year's resolutions. You don't long for the moment where you get to the place where, aha, I did it. I quit smoking, or I quit drinking, or I quit drugs, or I found a better job, or maybe your resolution is to win the lottery, right? And so you do a lot of manifestation, mental exercises to make that happen. That's not what it means. It's not simply about, you know, getting down in the river and let the current take you. And you guys know I love kind of these water metaphors. But Wu Wei is slightly different from that. It is about getting in the river and letting the current take you, but also kind of molding into the shape of water. And so the best metaphor for something like Wu Wei would be shape of water, where if you're poured into a cup, you take the shape of the cup. If you're poured on the ground, you take the shape of the ground. If you're poured into some kind of mold, you take the shape of the mold. But you never identify with the shape itself. You never identify with that moment. You simply take the shape, and when the next event arises that changes the shape that you need to fit into, you fit into that shape. You fit into that mold. And this ties in very intricately with this Joker archetype. And if you listen to the episode that I did with Alex recently, the Natural Born Alchemist, we talked a little bit about the idea of the Joker archetype. And this will be important as we keep diving deeper and deeper into mystical traditions and eventually get into more modern things. And I talk about Gurdjieff, because Gurdjieff came up with this fourth way, right? And kind of owning the archetype of the Joker. Now you see, in Western culture, that's obviously very heavy influenced by Christianity, and as will become evident by Zoroastrian tradition, we view this idea of an evil force, of a counter force, if you will, a force against good and goodness, as external to ourselves. There's some devil entity, Satan, whatever, some entity that tricks you, right? Demons come and haunt you and make you do things you don't want to do, that are counter to the things that you're supposed to be doing, counter to the Tao, right? The way, the natural course of nature, the nature of God. But see, this is not true at all, because in reality, you're the devil. You're the devil. Now, of course, you're also God, but you're also the devil. You have both these things in you. And that is a struggle that we have in our mind all the time. You feel like smoking is bad, you need to quit smoking, it's bad for your health, it's maybe causing like some financial burden or something. It's giving you health issues, maybe. So you know the things that you need to do. If you want to have better health, you want to save some money, you want to not have this feeling of this is bad for me, the answer is simple. All you need to do is stop. And see, not only is this the way of the Joker, but it's also the way of the shaman. Because the shaman drops all these illusions, drops all these opinions about what should and should not be done, and simply does them. That is Wu Wei. Drop your opinions and you simply act. You act mindfully. Because you understand the nature of things, you see. And so if you want to quit smoking, you don't go out and say, well, today I'm going to quit smoking. You just exist. And when the feeling arises inside you, hey, I want to go and smoke a cigarette. You don't say, no, bad, 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 Martin, you can't smoke right now. Your resolution is not to smoke. That doesn't work. The only solution is to close your eyes and listen. And what do you listen to? You listen to the feeling. You listen to the feeling. This is why mindfulness practice is so key to understanding yourself and getting over things that you may feel are bad habits or things that you feel like you need to change. You don't need to change anything. You're perfect as you are. Problem is you have this attitude inside of you that feels like you're not enough, that there must be something external to you that's better. That's preposterous. You're perfect as you are. You are it. So if you get that feeling that you're going to smoke, you simply say, I don't want to smoke right now. And sure, that may be hard as you start, but as you continue on this mindful practice, you realize the triggers that come around that cause you to light up a cigarette. You say, okay, if I do this action, the feeling that I get is a feeling of angst, maybe some sort of anxiety. And in order to appease that anxiety, I'm going to smoke a cigarette and that'll make me feel better. But see, if you go through this process, you are automatically put at peace. You're put at rest. And you kind of tend to make this urge go away on its own because you recognize the feeling and you don't identify with the feeling. You're not a smoker. You're simply a person who at this moment in time smokes. And I'm going to choose not to smoke. So it goes away. See, it's like a wind going through your mind. Go back and listen to the episode that I did on fear where I dive into this. So see, that's the secret. And this brings me to this listener comment, which I thought was really thought-provoking and interesting. So I'm going to read parts of it, and I'm going to discuss it as I kind of go along, because it ties into this whole situation. In the wake of the madness of the political cycle, which manifested locally as a takeover of the city's school board, I didn't ask for explanation on this, but it sounded pretty interesting, I left my casual alcoholism turn into glowing through a whole box of cheap wine every night. And trust me, I can relate, because I've done this myself. After a few near misses and major health issues, I ended up quitting drinking and the past few years have been a slow process of figuring out what the hell to do with myself, delivering pizzas or doing some other odd job to stay afloat in the process. Now, I know many of you are familiar with this feeling. If you wanted to take this in a spiritual context, this would be something akin to the Dark Night of the Soul, maybe, where you feel this existential angst. And this listener actually referenced the episode that I Don't Fear. That was the inspiration for the comment, so he did reference the episode. As for now, I feel like I'm coming to many realizations about myself and humanity in general, and how we interact with the world around us. I've wondered if there are ways to incorporate that into what I was doing before, keeping in the back of my head that I'm not sure I even ever want to be involved in that kind of work in any way again, but also that I don't feel good about abandoning it completely. I do feel the majority of the problems I encountered doing that work had to do with the ego-related issues, both in myself and relation to others, as well as with the disparity between the leaders of some groups who seemed to be utilizing the work as means for self-aggrandizement, and the others who did all the hard work and never got credit, and whose work in building and development of goodwill was often undermined by the actions of the leaders. It made me anger, and the anger had nowhere to go but inward, or occasionally directed unfairly at those I cared about, because of my inability to process those feelings. Now, this is actually really quite fascinating, and through my studies of Jewish mysticism, as I prepare to do this Kabbalah unit next month, I came upon the work of Rabbi Abraham Twersky, and he's a really fascinating guy. Worked a lot with alcoholics, 12-step programs, and kind of tied in Jewish ideology and mysticism in some ways into the understanding of the 12-step process. Because even though the 12-step process is kind of mainstream kind of non-secular thing, it's very much inspired by a lot of things that stem from religion. For example, the Buddhist idea of the Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths, right? So there's your 12. And a lot of other ideologies have similar core tenets, if you will, that could serve as the base for a 12-step program. And so this rabbi used Jewish mysticism to kind of develop a similar program and had great results. And I believe the rabbi's still alive. He's in his 90s, if I'm not mistaken. So you can check him out. Abraham Twersky, really interesting guy. And he has a fantastic quote that you'll be hearing again when we begin talking about Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism. And it's a very simple quote. And if you did not know that this guy was a rabbi, you would think this came out of Alan Watts or some other person that dives and delves in Buddhism and Taoism and other Eastern ideologies. And the quote is very simple. The feeling of anger, I call anger. The reaction to anger, I call rage. The hanging on to the feeling of anger is called resentment. Now see, this is important, and this is the key to successful resolutions, if you want to make them. The key being mindfulness. Is this not what mindfulness is about? You sit down, you close your eyes, and you listen. And through this quote, you see what the thought process is. Everybody gets angry. And as I mentioned, every time we dive into mystical traditions, it should become obvious that none of these things say that you are going to overcome anger in any way, right? This is why the idea of awakening, enlightenment, and communion or union with God, attaining the Pleroma, the kingdom of heaven, is somewhat of a fairy tale, a bit of a fallacy. As long as you are alive in your human form, you are going to have human needs, human emotions, human feelings, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And some people take this kind of in a very far-flung opposite direction. And, I'm talking about guys like Crowley or Anthony LaVey and guys like that, the Church of Satan, where they dive into a very deep, non-religious humanism, if you will, but oftentimes veil it in the metaphor of ritual and religious iconography and imagery. I think of movements like the Pastafarians, for example, which I find truly fascinating how that movement arose and is continuing to develop. Because you see, all you have to do is listen. The feeling's going to be there regardless. What you do with the feeling is what matters. And this is not to say you deny the feeling. You accept the feeling. And you realize you are not the feeling. So see, if you're angry, you don't reply in anger. You sit, you close your eyes, and you listen. Why do I have this feel of anger? What has caused the anger? Am I the anger? Or is it a wind that's blowing through my mind? And so you can easily react with harsh words, right? You can cuss somebody out if they make you angry. You blurt out a bunch of expletives. Maybe you're angry with yourself for not being able to accomplish your resolutions. And then you get into this anxious state. Can't believe I did this to myself. I should do better. I know better. See, if you're doing that, you are not being yourself. You're identifying with your anger. And so at that moment, you become anger or whatever you feel anger is. So for some of you, anger might feel like yelling at others. For some, it might be hitting somebody or hitting something. But that reaction is not the feeling. It is a reaction. The reaction to anger I call rage. And then if you continue to hang on to this feeling, it keeps developing and developing, getting stronger and stronger. You identify with it more and more. And then it evolves into other things. So anger, if you hold on to it, evolves into resentment. I hate this person. Do you hate that person? Or are you projecting your own feelings, your own sense of inadequacy, your own anger at yourself because you can't recognize it as simply a feeling? This is why the work of Jung is so important. And one thing that I've really dove deep and deep and deeper, and I haven't talked about it too much, but maybe we'll do an episode at some point in the near future, this idea of active imagination. I love active imagination exercises. It is a very practical, physical, tactile way of doing mindfulness practice. You can go back and listen to the three-part series I did on shadow work. And I know I recently also discussed shadow work in terms of learning to be honest with others, of using the other as the shadow. Because again, ultimately, it oftentimes comes down to this idea of projection, projecting your own emotions and your own feelings onto somebody else when they might not have that feeling at all. Just think they do. And the way that I've performed some of these active imagination exercises and how I've been able to be more honest with those around me, people that I love and care about, that maybe don't understand my point of view and worldview, if you will, is to do an active imagination exercise, very similar to what you do with shadow work, where, you know, in one of the exercises for doing shadow work is you sit in a chair and then you put an empty chair in front of you and you begin talking to the chair as if your shadow self is in front of you. And then you go and you sit in the other chair and you kind of role play, if you will, as the shadow, and you reply to your conscious self. And so with this active imagination exercise, I do sometimes a lot of writing, and I never keep it. I always get rid of it. It's sort of like a mandala, if you will. You know, the Zen Buddhists love to do these things with sand, these mandalas in sand. And then, you know, they take weeks, months, years sometimes to do these. And when they finish the mandala, they simply sweep the sand away and begin a new one. And, you know, you can kind of buy some of these things at like bookstores or whatever. You can buy them online, like a little sand garden, right? And they come with a little rake, and that's the exercise. But you kind of lose the context and the meaning of the exercise when you do that, unless you understand what it's for. And so what I'll do is sometimes I'll sit at my computer and I write out conversations as if I were actually having them with somebody. So I've done these for my dad, I've done them for my wife, I've done them for the kids, where I get to a point within myself where a feeling arises and I don't quite know how to cope with this feeling or how that person will react to the feeling. And so I write out a conversation. And the important part is to make sure you denote who is talking in this conversation. So I'll put, you know, Martin, such and such and such. And then I think about what I just said. And then I write, you know, wife says such and such and such and such. And then I think about what is said there. And so I do my reply as myself. And you go on with this process, right, until you begin to unravel what the feeling is about. Active imagination is very powerful, very powerful. Highly recommend it. You can get it over many different things, many different feelings of anxiety, depression. You can get over through doing these exercises. Because you allow your subconscious to work in conjunction with your conscious self, and you can get over whatever it is you feel is kind of keeping you back, hindering your progress. This whole idea of the two becoming one, for those of you that remember the discussion from the Gnosticism unit, Or maybe if you haven't listened, maybe you're familiar with The Secret, right? This is kind of what it is. The union of the two, the uniting the mind and the heart into one, right? Your intent and your emotion. This is how you get things accomplished. You see, this is a very simple exercise. It's a very practical exercise. It's pure magic, but not Harry Potter magic, right? But it's magical when you see the results arising out of you. If you feel anger for things that are going around you, don't identify too much with that. Figure out where that anger comes from, and you realize it's not part of you. It's simply a wind blowing through you. Back to the comment. I feel like the work is important in its own context, even if everything is an illusion. Now, I always say, when people start talking about illusions, always be careful with this word illusion. Okay, because the world around you is very real. You can touch it. You can feel it. Okay, if you go outside and you stand in the middle of the street and a car comes, you know, driving down at 100 miles an hour, and you say, well, the car's an illusion, guess what's going to happen? The car is still going to hit you and you're still going to die. Okay, so be careful when you do these things. But the illusion is this mental illusion. These opinions and delusions that we form about the world around us, that is the illusion. Helping to alleviate suffering still matters. In our society, a lot of suffering comes from systems that can be changed incrementally through organizing people and building momentum to create policy changes. And maybe that work would be more effectively manifest itself in the difficult work of organizing and seeking policy changes. If nothing else, things would maybe go a little more smoothly if people learn how to better communicate with, or at least not despise, others who think differently from them. Perhaps that is the entry point into reconciling or fusing the spiritual and material and political. But also, there's a lot of room for that to go horribly, horribly wrong. So this is true. And this is where Wu Wei comes in, right? Because you're acting through inaction. See, for the Taoists, the reason why we have all these problems is because we try to fix these problems. Now, there's an inherent conundrum here, because in modern society, everyone feels like there's some kind of problem that needs to be fixed. But the problem is we can't agree on it, right? And so whatever way we feel like is fixing it is simply causing more problems. So is the solution to create a solution, or to simply let things be? This is very hard because, again, we identify with the ego, right? We want to create an ego and evolve it, but get to a place where we realize the ego does not mean I. Now, yes, in Latin, ego literally means I, right? Self. But we have to realize that the ego that we are identifying with, the identity that we identify with, is not who we really are. The identity that we have of ourselves is created through illusions and opinions of others implanted upon us. And see, we believe those things to be true, and that becomes ego. Okay? It doesn't mean that there's no self. It simply means that the self that we think we are is an illusion, a mental illusion, an illusion created through false opinions, through false hopes, through wanting to change the world around us, instead of living according to a natural state. And this is very hard in modern society because we always have to live in this society. And so as part of being in the society, you constantly want to change things. You want to make things better because you don't want a hard life. You don't want to go live in a cave for the rest of your life. It's cold in the wintertime, right? It's cold right now. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, maybe if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, it's warm. But if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, it's cold right now. It's snowing in many places. You don't want to be in a cave, having to go look for firewood and create a fire. That's a tough life. But see, isn't that what life is about? About facing the challenge head on and learning to move beyond it. Now, of course, you don't want to live in a cave and have to go look for firewood and be cold because, you know, it's snowing outside. Or, you know, worry about a bear being hibernating in the cave, maybe waking up and eating you. Or the tiger coming in and eating you, or whatever, wherever you are, some predator, because you don't want to die, because you hold on to this ego. But see, none of that is real. These are all, again, illusions. I go back to the metaphor that I've used many times on the podcast about the man who's being chased by a tiger. And he's running away from the tiger, and he gets to a cliff, and there's nowhere to go. So he can stay where he is and get eaten by the tiger, or he can jump off the cliff and die a terrible death. Right? So what he does is he begins climbing down the cliff. He's like, well, you know, maybe if I climb down, yes, I could die, but if I stay here, the tiger will definitely eat me. So he starts climbing down the cliff, and he looks down, and there's another tiger at the bottom of the cliff. Oof, stuck between a rock and a hard place now. What do? You go up, you get eaten. You go down, you get eaten. And what he does is he looks over and sees a little strawberry bush and picks a strawberry and says, how beautiful it tastes. See, this is Wu Wei. This is Wu Wei. This is how you get over this anxiety, how you get over this anger, how you can learn to disassociate yourself from a false self and gaining a true self by living purely in the moment. And when you live purely in the moment, you're able to go ahead and make better decisions for yourself. And you're able to actually work through these resolutions that you create for yourself. See, don't say, well, in 9 months, I'm going to go ahead and quit smoking. You'll never quit smoking. Why? Because you're the devil. And if you tell the devil that you're going to quit smoking, he's going to make damn sure that he does everything in his power for you to quit for you to keep smoking. So the answer is, you don't do it. You live in the moment. And that is the answer to successfully accomplishing your resolutions. Now, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, this is the last episode of 2020 for most of you. If you're a Patreon, I think there's one or two episodes coming out after this one. And again, next week, a great interview on Messianic cults in modern society. I think many of you will enjoy it. And John's an educator. He teaches world religions at a high school. So he's got an interesting perspective on the whole thing. And we're going to go from there. 2021 is going to be a big year for the podcast. I want to make sure I take a second to thank all of you that listen to the show and make the show possible. Even if you can't join the Patreon and contribute financially, that's fine. You can support the show by leaving reviews on the Apple Podcast Store. You can tell your friends about the show. You can share it on social media. That's also a great way to help grow the show and expose it to more people. So I hope the rest of your 2020 is great. 2021 is going to be another fantastic year. Really, truly believe that. Really learn to live in the moment and accept that. And all these illusions that you live with will quickly pass away. If you want to get in touch, Twitter's the best place, at Mind Alchemical. You can email Martin at The Alchemical Mind. And of course, as always, remember that you are it.